if you want to stand real quick as we read God's word, we can stand for our scripture reading. It says, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state."
Okay. "For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state, for all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. But you know his proven character, that as a son who his father he served with me in the gospel, and therefore I hope to send him at once, as soon as I see how it goes with me. But I trust in the Lord that I myself shall also come shortly. Yet I considered it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my fellow brother, fellow worker, and fellow soldier, but your messenger and the one who ministered to my need, since he was longing for you all and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. For indeed he was sick, almost unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore I sent him eagerly, that when you see him again, you may rejoice and I may be less sorrowful. Receive him, therefore, in the Lord with all gladness and hold such men in esteem."
Very good. Okay, may the Lord bless the reading of his word. You may be seated. So here Paul is basically kind of giving two commendations, if you will. One of Epaphroditus, who is delivering the letter. He is the one that's bringing the letter to the Philippian church. And Timothy, who is going to be coming soon. And you might think it would make more sense if Paul talked about Epaphroditus, right? He's the one that's going to come first. And then you would talk about, oh, by the way, Timothy is going to be coming soon. And that would be kind of in our mind, sometimes a logical explanation, a chronological order, dealing with Epaphroditus and then with Timothy. But I think he starts with Timothy first, because Timothy is going to bring the news of most importance, right? The news Epaphroditus is bringing is that he is well, right? And he's going to bring a charge from Paul. But Timothy is going to come with the news of his trial. What is going to happen to Paul? Is he going to die? Is he going to be sentenced to death? Or is he going to bring the news that he is going to be free? And so Paul deals with Timothy first. And what does he say about Timothy? He says Timothy is going to come to them soon. He's going to give them two pieces of information. One is he's going to update them on the trial. We see that in chapter 2, verse 23. And the second is he's going to bring Paul back a report, chapter 2, verse 19. And you see, Paul is delivering this message with Epaphroditus, and he's challenging the Philippian church with a couple things. And we're going to see this. We've already seen some of it, but we're going to continue to see this as we study the book of Philippians. And the two of the main things is unity in the church and not allowing the Judaizers to come in and divide or to thwart the message of the gospel. And so he's looking forward to hearing a report back from Timothy, who is going to return to him. But then he says a couple of things about Timothy that are kind of peculiar, kind of particular, kind of interesting. He says in verse 20 and 21, "For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your estate. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus." Now, this might seem, Paul is saying, there's only one good person I have, right? The whole rest of the lot is not worth a hill of beans. We did read about how Paul said there was two kinds of people that were preaching, right? One out of love and the other out of selfish ambition, right? And he said, whether it's love or selfish ambition, that we can be glad that the gospel is being preached nonetheless. And so we do have this reference to this group of ministers who are just out there seeking their own. And certainly he can be referencing that. He says, for I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state, for all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. But I think he's also referencing his deep connection with Timothy. You know, the reality is, as ministers, as people who preach the gospel, sometimes we have a vision, right? Something that we want to accomplish, something that we see, we want to see happen, right? And so I have this vision for our church that if we could get these things lined up and implemented, our church would grow and it would help our church, right? And Gaylord has a vision that he sees for the church. And Randy has a vision for he sees for the church. And Nikki has a vision, and Steve has a vision, right? And everybody else. Stacy has a vision. Elroy has a vision. And if we all are seeking our own vision of how the church could grow and develop, right? We all seek our own. It's kind of like nobody works together on anything, right? And I think what Paul is saying here is, I have no one like-minded that serves in the way that I want them to. I have nobody who's going to come and care for you as the Philippian church in the way that I want you to be cared for. And we see that in other passages where Paul talks to Timothy, even in 1 Timothy, in the greeting. He talks to Timothy as a son in the faith, right? All throughout Scripture we have these references where Paul talks about Timothy as his own son. And this is what I think he is referring to. For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state, for all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. But you know his proven character, that as a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel. And therefore I hope to send him at once, as soon as I see how it goes with me. But I trust in the Lord that I myself shall also come shortly. So we see here that Timothy served with Paul as a son. Timothy was like-minded, and his character was proven. Timothy had learned from Paul, he had learned under Paul, and he had shown that he had a true character of one who serves in the way that Paul wanted him to serve, which is the way Christ wanted him to serve. Then we see Epaphroditus, who serves as a brother. Philippians chapter 2, 25 through 29 says, yet I considered it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, and fellow soldier, but your messenger and the one who ministered to my need, since he was longing for you all and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. For indeed he was sick, almost unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but also on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. And therefore I sent him the more eagerly, that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and I may be less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such men in esteem. You know, the first thing that we see here is that Epaphroditus was from Philippi, and he longed for the Philippian people, right? He was away from them, he got sick, right? And they knew that he had heard that he was sick, that he was probably dead, and he longed and desired to be with them and to minister to them. It reminds me of the verse where Jesus talked about Jerusalem. It says, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and the stones, those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but you were not with me. You know, it's being a minister, a missionary, or somebody who serves in the church is often at times very frustrating, very discouraging. You have a desire. You want to see things happen. You want to see people grow. You want to see people come to faith. But the work is slow. The work is hard. And what you long for doesn't always come to fruition. Not only that, but there are perils of ministry. And obviously, illness is one. I'm sure Gaylord could tell us about going to India, and there are probably different illnesses that you have to be aware of and immunized against and all that sort of stuff. But there are perils of ministry. And Epaphroditus, he definitely suffered those. He got really sick ministering to Paul, but thankfully God saved him. And then Paul says to the Philippian church to hold Epaphroditus in esteem for his service in the ministry. You know, the reality is we hold people in esteem for a lot of different reasons, right? We watch television and all kinds of people are held in esteem for different reasons. And in the church, we hold people in esteem, or we praise people, or we honor people who are doing the service of God. You know, just even this morning, I was reminded just about how important every little aspect of ministry is, right? Gail was not able to play today, and isn't a blessing that we had Isabel playing the piano, right? We got to learn some new songs this morning. And you guys didn't know those songs. I knew those songs, but you guys got to learn some new songs. But what a blessing it is for people who are willing to serve in the ministry, right? I don't know if you guys knew the Gregorian chant, but we could have sang that this morning too without the piano. But I don't know that one, so somebody else would have had to come up here and lead that one. Steve, do you know the... And so there's different aspects of ministry, and a lot of times, right, a lot of times we don't really think of them. We just, I go to church, you know, the slide comes up, the pianist plays the songs, right? The song leader picks the songs and I sing them, and then I hear the message, and we don't really understand or appreciate all the work that goes into the service and the ministry of the gospel. And so Paul says, hey, he's coming back to you, right? He's been away from you, he's longed for you, he's prayed for you, he's thought about you, he's gone through illness, and now he's coming back to you. Esteem him for his service in the ministry. You know, last week or the week before, we had Mother's Day. Was it 2 weeks ago? 2 weeks ago we had Mother's Day. Why do we have Mother's Day? Because mothers do hard work, right? And we want to praise them. We think it's right to praise mothers for the work that they do. And here in a little bit, we're going to have Father's Day. We're going to have our service in the park where we honor fathers. Why? Because the work they do is worthwhile. It's worth saying, hey, keep up the good job, right? It's worth encouraging because it's an important part of our social fabric. Mothers and fathers, they hold the world together. And so in ministry, it's important to esteem people who are doing the work of the ministry. And in reality, you know, in Sunday school, we talked about the day of Pentecost, and Gaylord talked about it here this morning. Today is traditionally the day that we recognize or celebrate the day of Pentecost, where the Holy Spirit came in to the church, the early church, and it was born on this day. And in reality, each one of us, each one of you, including myself, are ministers of the gospel, right? Each one of us has a gift given to us by the Holy Spirit, if we have received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and we are to use it to serve the body, the church. And so each one of us is to have a ministry, in a sense, and to serve in the ministry, to help others, to love others. And in the church, we want to honor those who serve in ministry. How do we honor those who serve in ministry? One of the ways that we do that is by submitting to the people who are over us. 1 Peter 5, 1 through 7 says, "The elders who are among you, I exhort. I, who am a fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, not as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. And yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you." One of the ways that we honor those who serve in ministry is we submit to them, right? We submit to their teaching, as long as it lines up with the teaching of Christ, and we serve with them to accomplish the things that God has for us to accomplish. The next thing that we want to do is to, the next thing the Bible tells us to do is to give double honor for those who serve well. 1 Timothy 5:17 through 22, it says, "Let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture says, 'You shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain,' and the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not receive an accusation against an elder except from two or three witnesses. Those who are sinning, rebuke in the presence of all, that the rest may also fear. I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that you observe these things without prejudice. Do nothing with partiality. Do not lay hands on anyone hastily, nor share in other people's sins. Keep yourself pure." And so we as the church have this obligation to hold ourselves to a different standard than the world. We hold ourselves to a different purpose, right? And so, and that is purity in Christ. And so the elders are there to guard against that which would come against the will of God. And so we are to serve under them, serve with them to accomplish God's will. Now that does not mean that elders or leaders in the church are perfect, right? They make mistakes. And when they do, they are to be rebuked in a public place when they do something wrong, because we want to make sure that everybody knows, right, that they need to be corrected, and that this is wrong behavior. But when they are doing the right thing, we ought to honor them by following them. Just like Timothy honored Paul by learning from him, by ministering with him, and being approved by him, we also want to honor the elders in our church by serving with the elders, right? The elders meet every month, and we talk about how can we better serve our church. You know, we as elders meet together to help you grow in your faith. And the Bible says that you then, in turn, must work with us to help the body of Christ grow and become successful. You know, I remember back, my dad's been a pastor a lot of years, as in my growing up years, and I can remember a church that we went to where there was a guy who wanted to be the pastor. My dad was the pastor, and this guy, he wanted to be the pastor. And it seemed like everything that my dad did was just not good enough, right? Just wasn't good enough. And he would complain and complain and complain. And finally, my dad got so tired of it, just the disunity in the church, that he left. And ultimately, that guy got to become the pastor. And he was the last pastor of that church. It died under his watch. And it reminds me that, one, we as elders have an obligation not to seek our own, right? But to seek the good of the church. But then it also reminds me that unity is so important to the body. We have to be working together. We have to come together for a common purpose and work together to support each other, to help each other, but most importantly, to serve and honor Christ. And those who are doing that are worthy of our admiration and respect. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this body called the church, the people that you have placed in it to help us grow and to learn and to develop in our faith. Lord, we know that you are our all in all. You are the one that saves us from our sin. You are the one who came and died and purchased our salvation. But then you have placed within this body, the church, people to serve. And as we read about in Sunday school, you have given them different gifts. Each one has a gift to share, to help the church grow. And so, Lord, I pray that you would challenge each one of us not only to be willing to serve and to honor those who are in authority, but also then to even step up and be willing to take on some positions of leadership, to take on and serve and fulfill the ministry that we ourselves have been called to, and to help people grow in their faith and to help people learn. Lord, I am so thankful for the many people in our church who do that, who have a role that they play in our church. And truly, this church would not be successful if it was just me, the pastor, doing everything. It wouldn't work. And so each one of us has a role to play in this body, and there are so many people in this church who often don't get a thank you, who often don't get recognized, but they don't do it for recognition. They do it for your glory and for your honor. And so, Lord, I thank you for that. Lord, there are so many people that are coming to my mind right now, and I just thank you for each one of them as they serve you. And, Lord, I just pray that you would challenge each one of us to continue and to even grow in that ministry. So, Lord, I thank you for your word, for your love for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, we got our closing song, which is...